Well, hello and welcome to another episode of
Considering Some Things.
I gotta stop laughing every damn time.
You still don't expect it when I do that, do you?
No, I don't. I'm Mark Storer, and that man over there
is Keith Cox. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing out there?
I don't know about you. I've had, I have a weakness for Chardonnay. I do. I have a weakness for it. And it's not my favorite
Mark,
wine.
By the way, I'm supposed to say, hey, Mark, what you drinking?
Back it up. Back up the tape.
Back it. Oh, yeah. That's all right. Hey, Mark, what you drinking?
I have a weakness for Chardonnay. And it's not my favorite wine. I don't always drink it. But when I do, I have trouble stopping. And so I've had a few glasses.
You're on a Chard. All right.
I like a Chard.
Hey, Sean, you drinking?
Sean, what are you drinking?
I am currently, I think it's a blend in the red department.
All right. Obviously, we have some education to apply here.
it's a blend. It's a blend. Reddish, sort
of
blendy.
Here's the thing is we joined, Angie has this new, it's this wine thing where you get 12 bottles and they guarantee that you are getting more value than you are paying for, but they don't really tell you what you're getting. And nice. We just tried it one time and one of the bottles, every bottle is in the, mid 20
nice.
Arena.
This is the reverse marketing that's happening in wineries now. They're saying, look, you don't understand this stuff, so we're here. I promise you'll like this, okay?
Well, but what they do is they sort of average it out. So one of the bottles is a $100 bottle.
Oh.
So you get one bottle that's freaking insane.
Right.
And then the others, we did it one time before, they're all really good. So the reason I don't know is because really they just showed up in a box and they don't really say a whole lot. It's a red blend. I haven't delved into where it's from.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
It's the movie Seven. So speaking of wine, our fine podcast is brought to you by the good people of Nabu Wines. Nabu Wines, Westlake Village, nabuwines.com, NABU. Now, Sean needs to know about Nabu Wines because
I know about Nabu Wines.
Excellent. You do know. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. So Nabu Wines, Greg and I grew up together. Greg Barnett, Jeff Bailey have produced some terrific varietals, terrific, terrific blends. And they get grapes from the Malibu Coast. They get grapes from Napa Valley, and they make some beautiful wines. And I've been privileged and pleased to work with them and to be part of the winery's growth. And Greg and I have known each other since we were children, just like Keith and me. So it's very bad.
I'm friends. We talk. Greg and I have talked about me coming over and playing. We just haven't
figured
it out
yet. You need to come and play. You need to go play there. By the way, Keith, he doesn't do a whole lot of covers, but, you could go and play there. I'm just saying. You could come down, stay the night here at the Storer House and play Nabu Wines. It's just a thing. Nabu Wines, when there's no pandemic and when there's no fear of everything, people go to Nabu Wines, and it's the number one bar scene. It's become a wine bar. They're terrific, and they do great stuff. They have a stage, and Greg's a musician. That was the first guy I played music with was Greg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that back in the old days. But hey, now I'm getting way off track and I have forgotten everything. Look, I'm a sommelier. That means I shouldn't say that. I'm a certified sommelier, which means really nothing is what it means. And it means that my wife's palate's better than mine. But the fact is, Greg and Jeff Bailey are producing some beautiful wines. You go to nabuwines.com, NABUwines.com. You type in NABU15, you get a 15% discount. They do local delivery throughout the LA County and Ventura County area. And they will take care of you. Some beautiful stuff. I really highly recommend them.
Yummy, yummy Nabu. Also, Babu? Did you say with a B?
Babu. It's from a cartoon I used to watch when I was
Babu.
Young,
right.
I know. I'm like Babu. I know. I knew that somewhere. Okay, Babu.
Generation X just exploded. We got like 30 or 40 listeners.
Woohoo! The Babu fans are coming out of the woodwork right now. And by the way, we are also sponsored by 805 Musician Network.
What are you drinking, Keith?
I am drinking It's funny you should mention that. I'm drinking, say, $100 bottle of Angel's Envy Rye.
Are you really?
Oh, I am.
Hey, last time I was at your house, you didn't have any of that. When did that show up?
It was here the last time I gave it to you.
No, my friend. Nice. Last time, it was empty.
Oh, no, I got another bottle. Yeah. It's like, it is like my favorite rye. It's, you know, it's just
It's extraordinary.
So that's what I'm drinking. In any event, so it's a Facebook group called the 805 Musician Network, and it is musicians helping musicians. Sean Wiggins is a member. Mm-hmm. She sure is. And anybody in the 805 can definitely join up, and it's basically about helping each other out, trying to get gigs. That's really why it all started. But also, if you're looking for projects, if you're trying to sell equipment, it's musicians helping musicians at the 805 Musician Network.
We are very, very, absolutely. Say it again. I'm sorry, on Facebook.
Yeah, thanks for cutting me on Facebook.
I'm just watching the basil grow in my backyard. All right,
yeah.
I am really excited, and I should say we are really excited. Sean Wiggins has known Keith for many years. Sean Wiggins is an award-winning musician. She's played pretty much everywhere. Every state? Can you say all 50 states, Sean?
No, I think I have about half, honestly.
Okay, so but across the country,
yeah.
Playing everywhere, and she's shared the stage with some incredible acts, including one of my very favorites, Blues Traveler. And
yeah, I was there for that. I was selling her merch.
Nice.
I sold more merch than they did. You sold more merch.
I did.
That's because Keith was on your team. You don't. Oh, yeah, you don't, yeah, you
I'm
don't
one hell of a good salesman.
If you need salesmanship done, you call my good friend Keith Cox. Contact Keith at Keith at
sellmymerch.com. That's okay. Keith at sellmymerch.com. I just go to everybody's merch, you know, booth, and I'm like, step right up. Get yourself some Sean Wiggins and Lone Go merch.
You know what I like about you, man, is that you have no pride, and I appreciate that.
None.
It's a real pleasure to have Sean Wiggins on
sure
considering
is.
Some things, and we're going to consider. Believe it or not, we're actually going to get serious at some point and talk music and in this strange time. But Sean, welcome to the program. It's great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you.
So,
well, ask me something.
I'm going to ask you a lot. So if I can jump in. So Sean,
wait, who are you?
And my name is Keith Cox. I also, and I, it's humbling to, you know, so I do play music. I'm not the musician Sean is. I'm not even close. She is the reason why I play music. We met in March of 2006. And she was playing at Mongo's. She was the duo. It was her and
Where's Mongo's, Keith?
Mongo's is in Grover Beach. So okay. Real close to Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, that area.
Grover Beach, California. You gotta talk like, you know, there's people listening.
Okay. Ouch. God, that's a stinger. Yeah, in any event, so she was playing there and we rode our motorcycles down to catch her. She was friends with a friend of mine named Dave Loudon, and he was, yeah, you got to listen to Sean. She's great. And we're like, okay. So we went out and she was amazing. And then she said, hey, come out and sing a song. And that was the first time I was ever afforded an opportunity to actually sing like a live song with anybody. And it was just, to me, this life changing experience. I don't even think she realizes, do you, Sean, how you changed my life with that?
Well, I do now that you've become the Keith Cox I know and love, the new man.
And it started with you.
Wow.
So, and of course, she's amazing. She's got what, about 9 CDs, I think, right?
Somebody asked me that the other day, and I don't know.
50, maybe 50.
I have 7 on my own. I have a couple that I did before I went out solo. I was in bands before that. So.
You were, and I never knew a lot. So that's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, like your first band. I love watching your Facebook where you're showing your throwback, and you were an all female band at one time, and I'm trying to remember the name of that band.
Well, that one, I don't know that we ever played live. There's a lot of interesting things that have happened. There's so many bands and things that I've done that I now have forgotten half of them, but I don't think we played.
We
wrote songs and we took pictures, but I don't think we ever played live.
Wow. Is that something that happens when, Sean, in the early days of a musical career, do you end up basically playing with a lot of bands because you're looking for a fit, or what happens in those years when musicians are doing that? Or is it just a musical thing? Is it because you want to play lots of different music?
Well, no. For me, it was more, I came out to LA. I was living in New York, and then I moved out back to LA. I'm from New York City.
And, yeah, you're Manhattan, right?
Manhattan, yeah. And so
how long did you live out there? You were born there. How long did you live there?
I lived through junior high, and then I moved back after high school.
Okay.
Where's your accent?
That is a hodgepodge. Hodgepodge accent. I don't have an accent. You do. But I think that for me, I was trying, I always wanted to, I mean, I did music in high school. I was in a band that we were making money in high school, a jazz combo.
Wow, jazz.
And that's what I always wanted to do. And coming to LA, I got on to Music Connection, which is the local music magazine where you can look at the want ads, you know, the classifieds. And I basically replied to every single one that might even be remotely related to something I might want to do. And I was in a police cover band for a minute that I don't think we ever did a gig. And I sang backup for a heavy metal band where underwear were actually flying onto the stage.
Outstanding. You know, outstanding.
I was in a band called Restless Society, another one called New Guinea Goat Boys, another one called Live New Girls, and I was in a one called Doctari. And played, you know, all over the Sunset Strip and all that. And I think it was more just, you're just doing it and it evolves. And you have I didn't have any real control over it. It just was sort of flowing. It was in motion. And I
opportunities hit and you jumped on it pretty much, right?
Yeah. I mean, opportunities is a grand word, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you think this looks like a good venue, you're going to jump on it and then.
Give it a try, and it's freaking funny. I had one night in Hollywood that I was auditioning for a rock opera, and they put together four or five bands and said, okay, you guys go rehearse these three songs and then come back and you're going to play them for us, and we're going to decide who's going to be the band for this rock opera. And I don't even remember today I don't think it even ever occurred, which is there was a lot of this. And so I was paired with this band called Thrust.
Ooh.
That's
a name. Thrust.
And
I'm going to bring that back.
Seriously. I'm going to bring that back. Call your new band, you know, call your band Thrust.
I want to do it solo. Hi, I'm Thrust.
It could be like the new Prince. You don't need, there will be no name of the band. It's just, and it's no longer Keith. He's Thrust.
Yeah. And Sean, if I could play with you, it'd be Thrust Goat.
Thrust Goat.
Lone Goat. Lone Goat is the name.
Or Goat Thrust, your choice.
Yep. Lone Goat is the name of the band that Sean plays with. Guys are having your inside jokes here. I'm trying to tell the nice ladies and gentlemen that Lone Goat is the name of Sean's band.
And she came up with that. Was that with Paul Houston on like a drive somewhere? Is that how you came up with Lone Goat?
So my band, I call Sean Wiggins and Lone Goat. Although at this point, it's pretty much just Sean Wiggins. I'm not really going by Sean Wiggins and Lone Goat. But the Lone Goat part was the fact that we drove up and down the coast from LA to, you know, Santa Maria every weekend.
Yeah.
And we were trying to think of a name and couldn't think of any names. And we were driving up the coast and I saw a single goat in a field. And I said, look at that lone goat. And we said, there's our name. So there you go.
Kind of fun. Yep. And Sean stayed at Hotel Cox many, many times.
Yes, she has.
Many times.
Many times. It was wonderful.
Sean, let's cut to the chase. Before you go on, Keith, what are we doing now? What's going on now with it that live shows have taken a powder?
Yeah.
Well, I actually did really well with Facebook Live over the beginning, you know, for the first couple months.
Nice.
I did a lot of that, and I have to thank all of my friends and fans who supported me during that. It was kind of the very first show I did. I went and looked at my PayPal afterwards, and honestly, I almost passed out.
Wow.
Right on. Right on.
And I'm so thankful for that. It just warmed my heart, and it was amazing. But I did that, a bunch of that and a bunch of Zoom shows. And then I'm doing Seanograms, where I if somebody wants me to sing happy birthday and then somebody's favorite song, I learn the song and tape it and send it to them. So I'm doing weird things, whatever I can think of.
Mm.
And but some live stuff is coming back, but it's going to be really slow.
Yep.
Absolutely. Really slow. It is. I'm playing in Big Bear for Oktoberfest.
Nice. You do that every year, right? Is that a...
I do that every year, usually yep. like two times. This time right. I'm doing seven times.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah.
Wow.
So getting back to this, since we're living in COVID, obviously I know this had to have impacted you because you averaged over 200 gigs a year, yeah. right? Yeah. I mean, it was an amazing... I mean, you are one of the most gigging musicians that I know. So how about this year? I mean, how... I mean, is it like in half now? Is it?
Oh God, no! It's
a fraction.
I mean, actual real gigs, I'm gonna yeah. be maybe 50,
wow.
or mm-hmm. something. You know, maybe
for the year. Yeah,
for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year I did 220, like 220.
Right.
So it's, but you know what? I'll tell you that I'm, in some ways, I'm thankful. Because I had gotten into just sort of this headspace of, okay, I'm booking the gigs, and I would book 6 months and then I'd book the next 6 months and I'd be done booking my whole year by probably May.
Wow.
And I just would do it out of habit and kind of like, this is what I do. And if I don't have 15, 16 gigs a month, I'm a lame. And this just shut me down and it made me realize I don't have to do that. And, it you know, Keith knows, you know, some of these gigs I'm driving 2.5 hours for, it's, you're not making any money.
Right.
So once you add,
that's always, I've always like tried to figure out, like, it blew me away. Cause that's where I'm lazy. And I guess it's because it's, you know, I get that when you're a full-time musician, you have to do that stuff, do the traveling. And I mean, I've never tapped into like Paso in that area. And there's tons of places to play out there. San Luis is sort of active. It's very active. And there's a lot more music going on out there. Whereas Santa Barbara is just still pretty much shut down.
Yeah.
And it's me just being lazy. Because they pay about the same. And I'm like, I don't want to drive an hour for the same pay, you know?
Right.
And I'm lucky. I know it's not my job. Thank God.
We all just, thank God for that, by the way.
Well, yeah, no kidding, right? But I do support the Sean Wiggins of the world who, you know, this is your living and this is what you have to do. And
well, you can't saturate, you can't only have one. If you're going to do it for a living, you can't have one area and kind of one fan base. You won't be able to do it. I can't get everybody out every single weekend.
Right.
Well, I can, but it gets old. It yeah. gets old I work a lot up in Santa Clarita where I used to live and I try to break it up. So I'm not there two nights in a row or I never play like the same city two nights in a row.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's really cool. It's always awesome watching you. And of course, lately with this COVID thing, and, you know, talk a little bit of AB5, that horrible AB5. So that's obviously impacted you a little bit anyway. I know they're doing a lot to reform that, I think.
And all right. So AB5 is Assembly Bill 5 in California. Specifically, what happened with AB5 is it was the attempt by the legislature in Sacramento to basically say people who do the gig economy, quite literally, so people like drivers for Uber and things like that,
and
freelance writers like myself, and of course musicians, needed to be employed by someone. And they thought, of course, that they were doing a good thing because then they'd have to have health insurance and then people have to have salaries. But of course, those of us who know that those things aren't offered in that world, we started to lose jobs. We weren't allowed to work. So musicians have taken a real brunt of this. That's what AB5 is.
Well, for me, some of my venues stopped employing us.
Correct, because
they were going to have to treat us as employees and not 1099 us.
Which is terrible.
Right. And then I had the same problem from my end because I was going to have to then employ my band.
Right.
Anybody who worked with me. Mm-hmm. And that might mean workman's comp. It doesn't really, but it could mean that, or at least payroll. You've got to do payroll and take out taxes and do the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And on $75, it's utterly ridiculous. It makes no sense.
It really is ridiculous. Correct.
Or on $125, it does. You know, it's just stupid. No, right. Nobody thought about it.
No, not one of the politicians who passed it thought about it at all. It also brings to mind, for example, you know, when you're a gigging musician and you go to a club and you're popular and people are going to come and see you, that's worth something to the club. But the minute you become an employee, now literally they could say to you, well, listen, you're not playing right now. You got a 20-minute break. Go clean the bathrooms. and if you don't do that, they could fire you. And that's just absurd.
Wait a minute.
Well, but that's
they've always done that to me. There.
I mean, that would never happen. So yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. But my problem was more that I was going to have to become an employer.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and that's right.
Got to get QuickBooks.
No, but that's not it. It's like it's. No, not, I know. It's just dumb. It's too much work for not enough money.
When you're not making a lot. I absolutely 100%.
And my guy, nobody's going to say, oh, I'll take my $60 now that you've taken $15 out for taxes. And I'm going to be happy about that. It's just, it doesn't work that way. It's not how, but you know, for musicians, well, the conjecture, AB5 was rescinded.
Yeah. Right. It was.
Oh, it was?
Yes, it was. Yes.
For musicians only or for everybody?
No, for musicians and for a bunch of other people.
Yeah. Okay,
good.
But at first,
there's way more people affected.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, and
way
then there's
more, like
there's
insurance adjusters, independent insurance adjusters, court reporters, you know, a ton of people.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think if there's a new one, Proposition 22 or 21.
Yes. 22.
Yeah, I think it's 22. So, I mean, and it just makes AB5 because it was such a stupid thing. And now they have to, we need more propositions to counter it. And it's, you know, making it, rendering it useless. And that's what it's supposed to be all about. And that's,
everybody needs to vote yes on 22 to render it useless.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%.
Yep.
So, but it did affect you. That's the thing. Now, obviously, I think COVID has affected more than AB5. AB5 kind of. I don't know if you've reached out to those venues since, but now it's COVID, right?
Yeah, exactly. So now it doesn't matter.
Right. So I'm jumping back. I want to set the Wayback Machine a little bit. And so you left Manhattan around high school, after high school?
No, I went back. I lived there and I was studying in Manhattan like when I was early 20s.
Oh.
So now, what inspired you? What inspired you to become a musician? I'm just curious. You had to have been relatively young.
Well, in high school, I mean, actually, in junior high, I just always wanted to sing, and I always did sing. I was in choir and in plays where it was in musicals, and for instance, I think I was about 12 and I was at YMCA camp and I used to sing Jesus Christ Superstar, tunes from Jesus Christ Superstar to my tent at night to help them go to sleep.
Oh, that's
I loved that musical. That was like one of I swear to you, if you didn't get religion, you needed to listen to Jesus Christ Superstar. You would totally get, I mean, the music was fantastic for that play.
Oh,
that
amazing. Was, amazing. Yeah,
really was.
I mean, I was singing some really weird songs from it. You know, I wasn't just singing, I Don't Know How to Love Him. I'm like, what's the buzz? You know? I'm
nice. Nice. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. You know, Corey Glover of Living Color, toured mm-hmm. with the company, and he played Judas Iscariot.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, God, the makes voice. Sense. Oh, his voice is just amazing. I love yeah. that. Oh, man. That okay, makes... sorry.
No.
But I mean, I've always been singing, and then in high school, I went to high school with Chick Corea's kids, if you don't know who he is.
I'm a yeah. big Chick Corea guy. Are you serious?
Yeah, so wow. I got to sing with Chick and record in his studio down here when I was in high school.
Oh, and my God.
Yeah, so his son was on drums and his daughter was on keyboards, and we would play in Portland. I went to high school, to a boarding school in a little tiny town in Oregon.
Oh, my God.
And we would go around and play in bars and festivals and stuff in the area.
So you jumped from Manhattan to Oregon?
Yeah, it was very freaky. I was very worried about the cows that were roaming in the land with nobody watching them.
They'll get you.
Those cows will get you.
Why is nobody watching the cows? I was very concerned.
Well, I'm very moved.
Chick Corea, Keith has no class, and so he doesn't really know. He knows that I knew Chick Corea, but that's all he knows. The Romantic Warrior album has got to be one of the greatest things ever, ever put down at all. In fact, I follow him on social media, and he's still playing. He's phenomenal.
Have you watched any of his – he's been doing these live, teaching people.
Yeah, teaching people, and then he's also doing music for children again, and he plays that. Do you know, Sean, I got to see Stanley Clark play here in Agoura Hills at the Canyon Club. Uh-huh. And just watching Stanley Clark, who was the bass player on the Romantic Warrior albums, and he played with Chick Corea for a long time. And I'm a bass player from way, way back. And golly gee, watching Stanley Clark play was like, okay, so I'm glad I don't do that anymore because there's just no way.
Oh, my God. I saw the Return to Forever returned when I was living in Manhattan when I in my 20s. And I went and saw them. It was utterly amazing, you know, with Aldi Meola and Stanley Clark and Lenny White. And I actually was in a cab with Lenny White, Stanley Clark, and Chick.
No, you were not.
I was.
You were not.
I was, and we headed down to a little club, 7th Avenue South, and we went and saw Wynton Marsalis when he was about 17, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
I just want to know. I just want to know what your conversation was in the cab ride
thank
there.
You. Yes.
Oh,
you
I think I was just mute.
Yeah. Yeah. Lenny White, man. Lenny White, his drumming, it changes the world. It really does. It's melodic. I just, it blows me away. Oh my gosh. Incredible.
It was kind of a fun night. And they sat in with Wynton, and it was just amazing.
Wynton Marsalis is the real thing, I'm thinking. Anything that he does, he simply changed music, didn't he? That's what happened there. He changed it.
Well, I think he also sort of made jazz a little more accessible again.
Yeah, he did.
It felt like.
Yeah. I agree. Do you still love jazz? Would you play it? Are you?
You know, I got out of it. I that's all I did for a long time. Like when I was living in New York, then I would go to little clubs and I would sing. I'd sit in. There was one little club called Arthur's down in Greenwich Village that there was this old black lady named Mabel. And she would say, or African American lady. I don't know. Just, you know, a really cool freaking woman who played piano and sang her ass off. And she looked at me like, who is this little whitey, little thing? Yep. And she would let me sing. And she would just give me instructions. She would say, girl, you got to change your keys. Or, you know, she'd give me little things. She would tell me how I could do it better. And I'd go down there and sing My Funny Valentine or something like that, you know, and it was just funny. She totally helped me and put up with my little silly ass, you know. it was a really good learning experience, you know, doing that. But I sort of fell out of that when I came out here. I was doing everything under the sun, from punk to funk to country to southern rock to whatever.
Now, what did you? Because you were doing so many, was it an experimentation thing? Did you always have your favorite style of music? but would do anything just to try it out kind of thing. Like, what was your center music, if that's lack of a better word?
I didn't find it till later, and I would say my center is more R&B.
Mm. Okay.
You'll hear it maybe stylistically, like more like Bonnie Raitt or like bluesy.
Right.
Because I come more from loving Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin and Chaka Khan, like are my idols. So. All right.
See, those are great musics to listen to.
I think so.
But they still are. And I keep telling the younger kids that's absolutely what they should be listening to. You're going to get a lot more out of your life by listening to that stuff than you are about what's happening right now.
I think that too, but I wonder if everybody's parents said that. You know,
Right.
I do feel that though. I was listening to somebody the other day, and it's, you couldn't play that around the campfire. I mean, some of this, you can't touch this around the campfire even, no. You know?
Well, now I want to try. I want to try now. Kumbaya, you can't touch this.
Okay, you can do it, Keith.
See? Do you know now, I want to go back. So if you could open, now you've opened with, and we touched a little bit on this, amazing. We got to see you open with Blues Traveler, but you got to open for a lot of cool people. But if you could open a show for any artist, who would it be?
No.
That's a
sacrilege to even say it. I mean, no. I would have to be one of those people, like a Bonnie Raitt or a Stevie or.
All right, so I'm going to give a choice: Bonnie Raitt or Stevie. Who you jumping in?
Oh my God! I would just go die and go to heaven for both of them. I don't know.
You get one. Or I'm going to give you one. Or Slipknot. Your Stevie. Choice. Is it Stevie? It's Stevie.
Slipknot.
Sorry.
Slipknot.
Anyway. You're just trying to be cool now.
Yeah, that's true. It's working well for
Yeah,
Sean.
I see that.
So now recently, this is cool. Sean, who's been a single for a long, long, long time, recently got married.
Hey.
During COVID.
During the COVID. Was it, now, did you wear masks and stuff during the wedding?
We socially distanced.
Did you? You're like, I do. I do too.
That's awesome. Was COVID part of the factoring? Were you like, look, it's obvious we need to take advantage of this now? Or was it just because of the timing? Was it just?
I'm bored. Let's get married.
No, yeah. We were already planning it, and then COVID happened, so it had to completely change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did you get it? Tell me a little bit about it, because I wasn't invited.
Nobody was. So it,
I'm just joking. Go
ahead. You know, all 10 people that were there, which, you know, everybody had a job.
I would have sold your merch. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you
would
have made money on your wedding. I sold merch at my
marriage
wedding.
Merch. You could have sold merch.
I know, we could have sold at least pins or, you know,
something.
Hats.
Yeah.
Make your wedding better again.
Yep.
make your wedding great again.
Great again. Yep.
I was in my backyard.
Nice.
And just tiny. I mean, really, it went from trying to plan something to deciding whether or not to get married at all, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, to cancel it till COVID was done, so that and just said to go ahead with it. We just decided to go ahead with it.
Love needs to happen when love needs to happen, Sean.
we were so happy we did it because it brought some joy to a time that needed it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we all need that.
I can dig this. I can dig that. That's definitely cool.
Are you, you're in Los Angeles now, Sean? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm in North Hollywood now.
North Hollywood, okay.
Yo-ho.
Yo-ho.
No-ho.
Oh, no-ho.
Hello.
No-ho. And it's cool. I was living in Santa Clarita, and this is nice. I live closer to the world, although you can't do anything in the world anymore. But
no, but it's downright cold in North Hollywood since you've lived in Santa Clarita.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
The desert of Santa Clarita.
95 degrees in North Hollywood. It's like, wow, it's really cold here because it's 110 up
in Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's kind of amazing. It's that's the funny thing of driving from Santa Clarita to gigs. And I would leave Santa Clarita, it'd be 105. I'd get to Ventura and it was 72. I mean, right. That's insane.
Yep. I forgot my jacket.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's truth.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to go back because now this, me as a musician, I always love to hear what is your creative process like?
I usually I'm weird in that I actually decide I'm going to sit down and write.
So is it melody then lyrics or lyrics then melody for you?
Mine usually arrive at the same time and the lyrics are usually really clunky and silly, but a basic idea will be coming along. And then as I write the melody, I fill these little words in and then some of them might stay.
Okay.
You know, so when I'm sort of ad-libbing, just trying to figure out a melody, and because it's all done at the same time, like I'm strumming away at the guitar, singing a little melody, and then I throw in some words and then maybe some of the words stick.
Now, do you have, I'm going back now, do you have sort of the, is it like, you conceptualize the lyrics, like I want to sing about a breakup or something like that, and then you're like, oh, she broke my heart, now I'm going to kill her, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Is it like that, or is it, I got this melody and I'm like, oh, I'm going to put, you know, and I was thinking about, you know, this breakup or something like that.
You know, I think I've written all kinds of different ways because I'll be driving down the street and a chorus will come to me, all lyrics and melody.
Gotcha.
And then I go back to my guitar and I figure out what the chords would be underneath that. And then the song evolves from there. Or I'm just sitting there with the guitar and I'm creating kind of a rhythmic thing. And I start singing some words and some melody. And there's no thought about content. It's just whatever flies out of my mouth. Then I've had times where I go, okay, I'm going to write a song about that we need change, or a song about love, or a song about my dog, or, you know, whatever. Then I sit down and I try to, usually music inspires my lyrics, really.
Okay.
I'm inspired by music.
So your song, Mercury in Retrograde, how did you come up with that? What was behind that?
What's the name of the song?
That is now 20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago. It's one of my favorites of yours. It's called Mercury in Retrograde.
It wasn't 20. Yeah. It was probably more like 17 or 16, but I cannot remember.
Feels like that long. Right.
I have a friend who I teach with who says that all the time. Mercury is in retrograde now. So.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where everything's going like to crap.
No, my song is about the fact that Mercury is in retrograde every day of the year.
Right.
Because whenever I ask anybody, it's in retrograde. So I don't know when it's not in retrograde.
Is that where you came up with it? Like, you know, life is a disaster kind of thing. I mean, it's sort of tongue in cheek, I'm assuming.
No, it totally is.
Yeah, right.
No, I try not to write songs that don't have some irony, or at least if it's really depressing, that it has some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. I try not to leave you in complete despair.
Well, that's a problem. I like being depressed, so I want something really depressing.
I'm not your artist.
You are my artist, though. That's just write me a depressing song. I challenge you. Now, what is? So I'm gonna corny with this, and I don't expect a great answer or whatever. But like the one song where you love it's like your favorite song of all the ones you've written. I know that's hard because they're all your babies, and I get that, but you have to have, do you have a favorite?
I don't. I mean, there's some that I don't even play anymore that I would call my favorites. And I don't really. Okay. I mean, I have so many that I go back to them. Like Paul and I played a gig. We played a wedding on Saturday. And we pulled up a couple, we were practicing a couple that we hadn't played in a long time. And I'm like, oh, this is a really good song. I like this song. You know?
like how you brought up Lizard Man. And I know that's a billion. And I fell in love with that song. And that's old. What CD is that off of? Or is it even?
That's actually on my very first CD.
Very first, right?
So was from it vinyl 2000. Or something like
that? Wow. What's coming up next? Do you have any gigs? Well, you said Big Bear, right?
I'm playing Oktoberfest, the Halloween. I'm playing the 30th and the 31st at Oktoberfest in Big Bear.
Very cool.
And I'm doing some other private things. I've done more birthday parties and weddings and that kind of stuff.
I'm doing a birthday party.
You're not just doing a birthday party. Why don't you tell her what kind of birthday party you're doing?
It's for a 15-year-old.
You've sunk so low.
Shut up. No, she's a sweet kid.
Yeah. What's,
and, you know, I need the work.
It's all good.
I know. I'm not complaining one bit. It's cool. We take what we can get, and it's fun, and she happens to really like classic rock. And yeah, shut up, Mark. No one likes you. We're talking to Sean. We're not talking to you. So, hey, Sean, here's a weird question. What is the most useless talent that you have?
I can semi-juggle, but not in a way that's very entertaining. Like, it's a very utilitarian juggling.
That's why it's semi-juggling and not...
Yeah,
it's a whole new sport, semi-juggling.
I can fake a juggle. That's kind of my useless talent.
Now I want to see that
with my toes. I can't do it.
No, that's awesome. I know. That's I've tried that. It doesn't work with me. I'm so not flexible at all.
I'm not flexible. I've tried. I don't have that talent. Now I have really good toes for it, but I can't do it.
Oh my god! So you can actually with your toe grip a fork or something like that?
Oh yeah, I have monkey toes.
Nice. I don't want to see monkey toes. Actually, that are like, oh my god, Sean does have monkey toes.
I can hang from trees. It's insane, but I can't feed myself.
Just not. Well, you got really long legs, so
they're like, just an extension of my legs.
It is. We're talking about another zip code. Her feet from your hips is a different zip codes. There you go.
My legs are in Sherman Oaks. I'm in North Hollywood. Sherman Oaks, right.
man.
All right, so let me ask you this, Sean. I know the answer, but I'm thinking, do you sing in the shower?
Oh, I love singing in the shower.
Best sound you'll ever get, right?
I mean, best sound. And actually, you know what I do in the shower is my spot in the morning when I have a gig. That's where I sort of check out my voice for the day.
Okay.
And I have a song that I check it out with.
Which I want to hear.
I check it out with Beyonce's Love on Top.
Wow.
So I'm in the shower, and to check whether or not I have the range that I should have, you're like, nothing's going on, I sing that song in the shower.
I don't even know that song.
I didn't think you would, but...
I might have known it, but I don't.
You bought the album. You remember.
No, I did. So, Sean, give me a couple of bars of Love on Top.
You'll just have to look it up later. I'm not prepared.
You're like, Keith, F off. No, I'm not going to do that. No. I'm not in the shower right now is what you were supposed to say.
Exactly. I'm not in the shower right now. Thank you for giving me my line.
You got it. So now, so I know this is different. So I've already asked you what your favorite song is, but what is your favorite song to perform live?
You know, that changes constantly.
It does, doesn't it? I get that.
Over COVID, I learned a whole bunch of songs because people were asking me special requests and I just learn them. And so I learned this Maroon 5 song called Memories that's a really old song that is now new to me. And I love it. I love singing it. It's like
isn't
a new
fun?
One that I'm having.
Yeah.
Never Been to Spain is one of my, I love singing that song. Cover
which one?
Never Been to Spain.
Never Been to Spain.
Three Dog Night.
I'm that was like a B-side.
Of
a Three Dog.
It's not a B-side.
Okay, I'm wrong because I saw them in concert.
No, if you listen to it, I was hearing it on
I'm forgetting
on Sirius Radio like over and over and over again, and so I finally was like, I need to learn this because I just love this song.
I was into Shambhala for a while. I was doing that for a while, and then I let it go. But it was like one of those things where I was just really digging playing that song. And then
yeah, I have weird. It's just fun, you know. Learning new songs is fun, and then bringing back old songs of mine, you know, that's fun and it feels new. And
what was your favorite old song that you brought back?
Of mine?
Yeah.
What did we bring back the other day? We brought. Well, Paul and I were practicing "I'm Not Your Maid," which I really
love. Oh, God, Sean! Yeah, I'm not your maid. That was. What's that about, Sean?
Oh, can't imagine. That's what I always say on stage. What I say is, don't date a singer-songwriter if you don't want your life exposed.
Yeah, it's going to end up. It's right, but writers too. Writers are all looking at you, what you say, and going, "I'm going to write that down."
You and Taylor Swift.
Stop it now.
I kid. How's Paul doing? I haven't talked to him in a million years. Paul has been her guitarist for like 8 million years. I mean, as long as I've known him. But
he's Paul. Paul is his own character.
He is. He'd be an interesting interview as well.
Is he playing? Is he doing some work? Or
he plays with me now and again.
Yeah.
I'm his go-to.
You're my muse. He's your muse.
Yeah.
They amuse each other. He's also great.
You know what's cool about what I'm doing right now, which you haven't brought up?
I haven't yet. Bring it.
Is that I'm really getting music in film and TV.
Oh, thank you. I was going to bring that up. That was next. I literally have a checklist here. I'm just letting. So how did that evolve? Getting music into TV? Was that with the help of Angie?
Angie. And then some of her friends. Okay,
who's Angie?
Angie is my wife.
Well, there you go.
And so she's a music editor for movies.
Oh, neat.
And so through her connections, and the cool thing is that it's not like if the song doesn't work, it doesn't go into a movie. It's just we've exposed more people to my music, and they're like, "Oh, this works. I'm going to use it." You know, so. I'm lucky that I have the ability to get it in front of people. And that's been happening. So I had a song in Bombshell, the movie Bombshell.
Oh yeah.
And, I have a song in a movie called Desperados, which just came out on Netflix over COVID.
Oh, cool.
There's another movie coming out shortly called Half Brothers that I have some songs in.
Well, that's gotta be a kick. That's totally fun.
It is really fun. And yeah. And
we caught your songs in Mr. Mercedes, by the way, which was really bitching.
Yeah, that actually has done really well for me. I've had a lot of hits on Spotify from that.
I love Mr. We were totally into that. You know,
what a great show! I really
it
like
is
it
a
too.
Great show. Yeah, Stephen King story.
Oh, is it?
It is. Yeah.
I didn't know that. No wonder I liked it.
Yeah, he was about that crazy killer guy. Yeah, it was great.
Well, it's always crazy killers with Stephen King. That's for sure.
And, well, you know who's going to be watching it? This guy. Horror. I love horror. The horror genre and Sean Wiggins. Those are my two faves.
There you go. Well, Sean, it's been a pleasure to have you on, and I'm thrilled to have you. And you're going to be up in Big Bear coming up for Halloween, and yes. You're available for private parties. Is it SeanWiggins.com?
SeanWiggins.com.
S-E-A-N.
Yep, S-E-A-N.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that down. I'm going to sit here and wait while you write it down.
S-E-A-N-W-I. Two G's. W-I-G-G-I-N-S.
.com.
Not .org. Definitely not .gov. So what's next for you after all this? So I think I own all your CDs, by the way, except for the new one. So I got to get that.
Oh my goodness! It's one of my. It's a really good one, my new one.
I'm excited. I'm definitely going to get it.
Can folks get it at the website, Sean?
Folks should just contact me at SeanWiggins.com, and I will let them know how to do it. I mean, they can get it at CD Baby, and they can download it off of iTunes or Spotify. I mean, not Spotify, but iTunes and CD Baby. You can download it.
Nice.
Or order it.
Right on.
Sean, thank you for spending some time with us. It's been great to get your word out there and to talk about the love that is music. It's basically what keeps us all going these days.
Amen. Thank you for having me, you guys. It's nice talking to you.
Hey, I love you, Sean, and thank you so much. And I'm just excited for you, and just keep on keeping on. You are a huge inspiration, and all your music is fantastic. So I'm very excited that you're, you know, doing your thing, girl. So keep on doing you.
Same to you, sweetie. Same to you both. So take
care. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right.
You've been listening, Considering Some Things, and we're thrilled that you did, and we're thrilled that you would go to Sean, S-E-A-N, Wiggins, W-I-G-G-I-N-S, .com. You could go to keithcox.com, but you won't find anything. You could go to markstorer.com. There used to be a markstorer.com, but there isn't anymore. Now it's consideringsomethings.com. You can hear us on Spotify, Amazon, iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn,
Banana. All right.
And Google Podcasts.
You can't, you won't catch us on Banana. That's a lie.
Thanks for pointing that out. It's been a pleasure. Have a great night, everybody, and take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.